Get our Bibles open tonight. Matthew chapter 9, and the title of the message tonight, and I want you to listen to this title because it actually is speaking to what we'll be dealing with tonight. But Matthew 9, we'll begin there in verse number 18. But the title is A Vital Decision. And underneath that I wrote, On What to Say. A Vital Decision. On What to Say. Now, we're in the Healing Example Series. This is number 21. You can go back and find every one of these on the website. You can go back on YouTube and just go back every Wednesday, and you'll find it. And we started a long, long time back, weeks and weeks and weeks ago. So, you know, there are, 52 weeks in a year? And so 26 weeks is halfway through the year. And we're on 21 in number 21 in our series. We haven't quite done this a half a year yet. I started it somewhere back in late February, something like that. So we're a little bit off. If I had started in January, we'd be right there. But so I want you, though, to know that those messages are all on there, and you can go back and find them and listen to them. And I believe that it's vital that you and I hear the word regarding healing. You will not grow in faith in every area of your life that you have to address and deal with if you're not hearing what God has to say about that area. You know, a lot of people have great faith in the fact that they're born again. How many of y'all believe that you're born again, right? You know that you're born again, as a matter of fact. Nobody can talk you out of that. They can't tell you that, you know, you've put all your faith in this Jesus Christ, but yeah, ultimately you're not going to make it. You can't tell us that. None of you would even attempt that. You have great faith in the fact that you are born again, your sins are washed away, you're a new man, the man that did that or the woman that did that in the past, that's all forgiven and forgotten, and you are raised up a new man or a new woman in Christ. There's a lot of faith in that, right? Okay, and praise God for it. You've heard the word on that. Some people in the churches where they grew up, you know, they were real strong on salvation, and people were talking about salvation all the time. And in a lot of churches, that's about as far as it goes, which is vital. You're not going to heaven if you're not saved and have received the word on salvation. But then what about during this life when your body needs healing, or you get into a position where you need financial a growth in your life in order to take care of needs and do things that the Lord's calling you to do? What about that? What about the word regarding a provision or peace in your life? What about the word regarding deliverance when you come upon a situation where somebody needs to be set free from something and you don't have any word in you about deliverance? You know. So it's very, very important. Well, somebody says, well, what about the Holy Spirit? Well, what does the word have to say about the Holy Spirit? In other words, you have to find out what God says about those areas, what scriptures bring out, what the word brings out, and those are the things you need to be hearing for your faith to grow in that particular area. It's that vital. It doesn't happen automatically. You don't just lay your head on your Bible at night and through osmosis, you know, you just absorb the word. Oh man, I'm or stand on it. I'm standing on the word, brother. All you're doing is flattening your Bible. So, you know, you need to get the word into your thoughts. And healing, you can never hear too much of this. Lose the attitude that you know it all on healing, because you don't. Every one of us need to just approach this subject new every day. Not that you forget the things that you're taught, because you shouldn't. You know, that's what we're saying. Your faith should be growing. You should have ever-increasing faith. Okay? But how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. So what does God have to say about healing? What did he think was important to have put and placed into the written word, the logos, the written word of God? What did he think was important? So then we go and we look at those things of what he had to say. And faith will rise up from that. So in Matthew chapter 9, we were looking at the healing of Jairus' daughter. In chapter 9, beginning there in verse 18, it says, "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. I want you to take notice of the fact that Jairus wants Jesus to lay his hands upon his daughter. Now jump over, or down rather, to verse 23 here in this chapter, because we see that what happened was the woman with the issue of blood interrupts the scene, and she touches the hem of Jesus' garment, you know, and gets healed. And we'll touch on that one. We'll go more into that one in the weeks to come, I think. But in verse 23, and when Jesus came into the ruler's house, now notice it doesn't say Jairus' name in this chapter in Matthew's version of it. In chapter 9, we're going to find that he's mentioned in Mark 5. We find out the name of him, the ruler of the synagogue, in Mark 5. But look at verse 23. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid's not dead, but sleeps. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. Verse 26, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Now, jump over to Mark chapter 5. So we're going to look at Mark's account. There's three accounts of this particular healing in the Bible. We'll just look at two of them tonight, Matthew 9 and Mark 5. In Mark chapter 5, verse 22 reads, And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, and here's his name, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Now, Jairus is a word or a name, and the name Jairus means literally whom God enlightens, whom or the person who God enlightens. Comes from a Hebrew word or name, rather, and the Hebrew name is Yair, and it kind of sounds like your ear, you know what I mean, Yair, and that actually means enlightener. So Jairus was definitely enlightened about Jesus. He had heard about Jesus. We've mentioned this to you before, and that's how important it is for you to be talking about Jesus. Others need to hear about Jesus. Now, we do it at the church, and that's good, and we should be doing it here, of course. But the fact is, you need to be talking about Jesus out there. When you go to the doctor's office for a checkup or whatever, an appointment, whatever, you need to be telling other people about what the Lord's doing in your life. When you go to the post office, when you go to Walmart, when you go to the whatever the store happens to be, wherever you happen to be, just don't be shy about letting your light shine before all men. Amen. So Jairus was enlightened, and he had the revelation about who Jesus was. He had heard about Jesus. He had obviously heard about this anointing that was on Jesus and within Jesus, because he wanted Jesus to put his hand on his daughter. Notice that. He wanted Jesus to touch his daughter. I think that's interesting that this incident was interrupted by a woman who came and wanted to touch Jesus, right? So that in itself says that people understood something about who he was. Now remember the woman with the issue of blood, when she reached out for the hem of his garment, that from Malachi chapter 3, talks and speaks about there's healing in his wings, which literally in Hebrew means there's healing in the edge or the fringes of his garment. So they understood something about who he was. He was the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness that arose with healing in his wings, in his garment. So I love that. But, and again, we'll go into that some more as we go, but the woman had heard that. Obviously, Jairus heard that because he wanted Jesus to come and touch. See, some wanted Jesus to come and touch them. Others wanted to touch Jesus. Remember, the scripture said that they thronged him in verse 24. You see that? And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. I mean, it was nearly suffocating. the way the people were all around it. You ever been in a big crowd and people are pushing and shoving and trying to get somewhere? It's like, will you just cool it? You know, you're all not going to get there by doing that. All you're going to do is hurt somebody, and that's how stampedes begin. You know, you hear about this stuff, and you think, oh, that could never happen, where somebody would get, you know, trampled to death. And then you hear there's a soccer game, and people get all crazy and running, and somebody falls, and others, and somebody steps on their neck and breaks their neck, you know, because there's so many people. But this crowd that thronged Jesus, they were all around him. And that's when he made that statement, who touched me, of course. But the people heard that it was important that either he touch you or you touch him. So Jairus obviously had faith in the anointing that was within and upon Jesus. So word was out about Jesus, and people were talking about it. Jairus was the president of the synagogue, or the head of the synagogue, the ruler of the synagogue, and literally he's called the president of the synagogue. The president, or the prime minister in Israel, is the nasi, the president, and that is the word used in Hebrew. Nasi is the head of the synagogue, and he was in charge of all the function within the synagogue. He called the shots on who got up and read from the scriptures, or who stood up to speak, or who did not get to speak. Okay, that was the job of the nasi, and he oversaw all of the daily function within the synagogue, even its upkeep. And so this man had a position of authority, but this man also had been enlightened as to who Jesus is. Now, let me ask you tonight, are you enlightened concerning Jesus? You say, well, you know, I know that he's the Savior. And yeah, I know he's the healer. Well, let me ask you this. Is he your Savior? Has he saved you? Yes, he saved me. Well, what about your healer, your personal financier who will take care of your finances and get personally involved in your money situations in life? Where are you at with that? You know, do you understand he's your peace? He's Jehovah Shalom. He's the God or the Prince of Peace, the source of all of our peace, the captain of our salvation. He's our righteousness. Righteousness, right standing, has been provided through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So in all of that, it's important that you have the revelation of who he is. Well, Pastor, seems to me I ought to be able to just read the Bible and get all that in one swell swoop. Well, it doesn't always work like that, does it? You have to get in and begin to see these things. A lot of people have read the Bible for years and don't believe that God heals, even to this day, because they've been told by somebody that said that stuff passed away. Or, of course, when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, oh, that doesn't happen anymore. Tongues are not for today. Nobody should be speaking in tongues. That's of the devil. When the last apostle died, all those gifts ceased. You know, that's crazy. It's called Calvinism. At the death of the last apostle, it all ceased. It all came to an end. Because after all, we now had the Bible and the written word of God. And so they think when that which is perfect, and when the Bible speaks of that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part is done away. It's not talking about the word of God. No. It's talking about the body of Christ coming to that place of maturity. And I've got news for you and news for everybody else out there that thinks that the body of Christ doesn't need the Holy Spirit and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit flowing in, through, and upon his body in the earth today. I mean, my goodness, when the Bible says, when you know not what you should pray for as you ought, the Spirit himself will make intercession through you with groanings, which cannot be uttered in speech understood by the one who's actually doing the speaking. That's tongues is what that is. So it's not something weird. My goodness sakes. I mean, the devil is so deathly afraid of people when they get filled with the Holy Spirit. He's just deathly afraid of that. So the word has gone out that's not for today. That's of the devil. Man, I've seen people who are, by their estimation of the devil, because they speak in other tongues, lay hands on people and see God do miracles. I was telling somebody, I was witnessing to somebody, I was at Walmart. The young lady that we go over and ordered, Ann does the ordering, and so then she came with me. We order the stuff online, you know, and then drive in there, and they come out and load it in your car, right? Okay, your groceries, it's pretty quick. You get it down, and it works pretty nice, actually. And if they don't have something, they're going to substitute. They normally up it. So if they, you know, you ordered a 16-ounce and all they have is the 32-ounce, you get the 32-ounce for the 16-ounce price. What a deal, huh? Only when you're ordering like a small bag of Snickers and they only have the giant bag. Yeah, there you go. That's what you want right there. You know, you need to be believing God for those giant bags. No. Come on, I'm teasing. I don't do that. Anyway. So anyway, nah, just serious. Anyway, so we were there and this young lady came out and she said, "Well, how are you doing today?" I said, I'm doing great, man. I mean, it's a great day. And I don't know, she said something, and I just, you know, like I've told you, you just need to listen for what people say to you to inject Jesus into the conversation. It's not hard to do if you just do it. So I injected Jesus in there, and I started preaching to this girl. I was being very kind of low-key, you know. I wasn't trying to embarrass her and make a scene or anything. We're just standing at the back of our car with the thing up and the groceries being put in, and I started telling her about miracles that I've seen God do and how, you know, the believers can lay hands on the sick and blah, 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 and told her this, that, and the other, and she's just staring at me, really, really. I thought, yeah, really. You know, actually, God does do these things. Amen. So it's neat to give testimony of the goodness of God. I said, God is a good God. Don't ever forget that. You know, he's a good God. He sent his son, and so on and so forth. Anyway, take the time to share the good news with people. Take the time to, and you don't want to ram it down somebody's throat, and you don't want to, be obnoxious with it. Let the love of Christ flow through you. This is not a game that we play to see how many people you can win to Jesus. And that in some circles has become a competition. We're going to compete as to who has more people won to Jesus. That's crazy, man. That's crazy. God's not into that competitive thing. That's just based in insecurity. Now, I would say that we need to be sharing Christ all the time, all right? And share however the Holy Spirit leads you, do it. You have a command to go, so go and do it. Amen. But here, Jairus, if you noticed, he fell down at Jesus' feet. You see that in verse 22? Last time we were talking about how to handle a bad report. Well, one of the things that we mentioned in the last message on this topic and in this series was that miracles start on the wings of worship. I don't know if I worded it exactly that way, but a miracle, it is the worship is always the start of the miraculous. And people that have a revelation of who he is will always worship him. And what it does is whenever you bow down and worship the Lord, it shows your heart, okay? If all a person wants to do is go to Jesus, go to the Lord for what they can get from him, that will be revealed pretty fast. But when you come to him and you worship him and you adore him for who he is, not what he can give you, but for who he is, that shows something in your heart. And by the way, God knows your heart anyway. So you're not going to con God. Oh, I worship you, I worship you. I really just want what he can give me. I worship you, Lord God. No, he knows. He knows your thoughts and intents, okay? So get those things straight and realize that it's important to worship the Lord. Amen. But that normally is where miracles start. You'll see it in the Word of God. That's, you know, it's all over the Word. But a lot of times people do the opposite when they get into a situation. They come and they start accusing God of how come you're letting this happen? How come this hasn't changed yet? How come? Like it's God's fault. Now, shame on the believer. I mean, an unbeliever, you might expect that. But for believers, you're supposed to believe, right? That means if you're a believer, you believe. Well, shame on believers for accusing God of doing stuff that the devil's done. That's pathetic. That is wrong. And we should never be caught doing that. That is the fact of the matter is you and I haven't done everything correctly. And when things aren't changing quickly enough, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. Well, Pastor Dan, come on. What's the deal with people that never want to take the blame for stuff? You know where that started? All the way back in the Garden of Eden. When the Lord asked Adam, it was the woman. It's that woman you gave me. I mean, it started way back then. The shifting of the blame, the shifting of the focus, and the shifting of the judgment onto they're the one to blame. When all along we go back and we find out Adam was the one put in authority to keep or to guard over the garden, and he had authority to do it, and he let his wife just be overtaken by the enemy when he could have stopped it. Now don't tell me you would have done something different. You would have sat there and done the same stinking thing. Because humans are human. Wow, is that not a revelation or what? Amen, Pastor Dan. Now, I heard John Hagee say one time, when I get to heaven, I'm going to kick Adam in the shins for what he did. And he'll kick you back, you know. Oh, my goodness. So God is a good God. Say that with me. God is a good God. Say it louder. God is a good God. He's always a good God. He doesn't ignore his kids and leave them in a position where they're being defeated and beat up on and sickness is overcoming them. He's not doing that. It's not God's will that people remain sick. It's not God's will that people be lost, of course. It's not God's will that people be broke and never have enough. It's not God's will that people's minds are all shattered and they're like, wow, I don't know. I just can't get any peace. That's not God's will. But don't blame him for that. Jairus was enlightened enough that he knew I need to worship him because he has the answer. He has the power that my daughter needs. Amen. So we need to trust that God is merciful and that he's gracious. He's faithful. He's loving. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So look at verse 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now here's where the woman with the issue of blood shows up and interrupts the scene. Some will say, well, she was to blame, and that's because Jesus couldn't get there quick enough, and the daughter died. Well, I doubt that, okay? But it did take some time here. But look at verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Now, boy, as I read that, there it is, the dreaded bad report. And if you think as a human being you're going to just coast through life and never get a bad report, you've got another thing coming. How many of y'all have ever had a bad report in your life? If you haven't, you're not alive. And the fact is, bad reports come. Now, I didn't say God was the source of it. I didn't say for one moment that it had to defeat you. But bad reports come. A bad report came. I mean, I've heard many, many times over the years, bad reports. But the bottom line is, whose report are you going to believe? Whose report will you adhere to? Could I have my phone for a moment? Whose report are you going to believe? Thank you. Bad reports come. Situations arise where you need to exercise your faith. Now, I am going to read to you the next verse out of the Amplified Version. Now, I love the Amplified Version. It's a great version. And let's read verse 36 in the King James first. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, in other words, the don't trouble the master, your daughter's already dead, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, so you can just see him turn and look at the ruler, Jairus, and say to him, be not afraid, only believe. You see that? Verse 36 in the Amplified reads this, overhearing but ignoring what they said. So he overheard it, but he ignored what they said. Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear. Only keep on believing. Only keep on believing. I want you tonight to be prepared in your thoughts. Be prepared with your auto response when a bad report comes your way. I'm not believing for a bad report to come your way, trust me. I'm believing, God, that your lives will be and continue to be blessed and that you'll walk in total victory. Amen. But you may hear of a bad report from somebody else or concerning somebody else, right? I mean, it's not a good thing to hear a bad report about somebody else. You don't sit there and go, well, they deserve it. Shame on you if you do. Yeah, but they're creep. Well, they may be, but they probably need Jesus. No, they're born again. Well, then they need to repent, you know? I mean, you're not the judge, the jury, and certainly not, you know, the one that ought to be casting that kind of judgment. But the fact is, when you hear it, what is your auto response? What will you say in the moment that you hear something like that? a doctor's report that comes back negative, a report about your job that is horrible. What will you say? It's vital. That's why I titled the message, A Vital Decision on What to Say, because when the bad report comes, or you hear of it in somebody else's life, what's your initial response? Jesus said, look at that in verse 36, the end of it. Be not afraid, and look at this. Only believe. Only believe. In other words, only. Underline the word only. What does that mean? It means don't do any other thing. Don't do something else. Only believe. Now you need to let that sink in for a second. Don't do anything else. Only believe. Yeah, but that's a temptation, isn't it? The yeah or yes, but you don't know what the doctor said. Also, you have more faith in the doctor than you do Jesus. Well, that sounds real good, but it's just not realistic. Well, who do you believe? When the bad report is thrust at you, what is your initial response going to be? Oh my goodness, what would have happened if Jairus had just come apart? Do you know, I think there are times people are in the middle of the start of a miracle, the start of a miraculous intervention in their life, and they short circuit it with their mouth. And they cut it off with a confession, and they open the door, the floodgates to fear. I remember years ago, Brother Copeland had this thing, no fear here. You all remember that? Some of you remember that? No fear here. Hey, hold on a minute. You need to walk around saying, I'm not going to walk in fear. I'll walk in faith. Fear is the exact opposite of faith. You've got faith in the Lord and trusting him, and you've got fear, which is being afraid that everything that the devil's telling you is going to come to pass. Trusting him more than you do what God has said in his word. So this is a separation point of immature and mature. Real faith, great faith, you hear me, follows the pattern of, you remember what Jesus said? Go ahead and stand to your feet. Jesus said, I'll only do the things that I hear my Father say, right? Now you can go and find that, and that can be your homework for tonight, because I didn't write the scripture reference down. I just wrote the actual thing that Jesus said. But I'll only do the things that the Father says for me to do, or I'll only say the things that he tells me to say. When in John chapter 2, verse 5, Mary said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Well, what you need to remember is that's the way Jesus operated. He was only going to do what he heard or saw the Father do. So be careful what you say. On Sunday, I talked about having great faith, and one of the things is always to say the thing God says about you, about your situation, and find out, what does he want me to confess over this? What does he want me to say right now when this ugly report comes? Listen. Don't have a knee-jerk response to something and be saying something that opens the door to devastation. No, in the name of Jesus. I mean, the best thing that you can do right off the bat, because Jesus said it right here, don't be afraid. See, fear opens the door to all the other stuff that goes with fear. Fear has a whole lot of cousins. Kinfolk, if you will. Oh, yeah. Do you know one of the kinfolk of fear is embarrassment? Anybody in here ever been embarrassed? There's not a one of us that haven't felt that already. Your face gets flushed because you said something or did something stupid. It seemed, you know, and you're going, how could I say that? Well, you did. Fact of the matter is, it happened. I think one of the best things you can do if you find yourself saying something, doing something that's embarrassing, you know, laugh. laugh with the people who are going to be pointing the finger and laughing at you. Isn't that funny? I mean, my goodness sakes, how could I say something like that? How could I do something like that? Well, you don't know, Pastor. Hey, I've been in front of people more than most probably anybody in here, and I know what that is, to do something embarrassing. I'm not even going to go there. But anyway, Anyway, how Jairus dealt with the bad news was vital. So why did Jesus say, be not afraid, only believe? Because everything that was going to happen was based on Jairus' response when the bad report came. And what he said would tell whether he was in faith or he was giving in to fear. So what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth if a bad report happens to come your way? Well, Jairus lived it right here, but he had the proper response. He said, you'll lay your hands on her and she will be healed, right? Well, now you have kind of a contradiction going here because she will be healed, but they just came and said, she's dead. So which is it? She's healed or she's dead? Don't be afraid. Only, don't do anything else. Only, don't do anything else. Don't say anything else. Don't go back on your confession that you made when you first approached me. Do not be afraid. Only believe. Only. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Well, Father, we thank you for the example of Jairus in the Word. We thank you for the enlightenment that we enjoy, that we walk in. And Father, I bless you, praise you, and thank you for the revelation knowledge rising in my brothers and sisters, their faith increasing. I thank you for that. I give you glory for that tonight. Praise, honor, and thanksgiving tonight. It's yours. We love you. We bless you. We give you glory, sir, and thanksgiving that our faith is coming up to another level, even tonight as we hear the Word, as our faith is infused, Lord God, into us and strengthened. And Father, as we hear what you have to say to us regarding your Word, your will, thank you for it. We praise you and bless you tonight. In Jesus' name. Come on, if y'all agree, say amen. Amen.